Ignoring your surroundings, both at a close and distant level, can create some pretty significant problems. It goes for things like walking, driving, working, or simply being outside. There's something that you can pick up outside, bring in with you, often unseen. When it's found and removed, it might be too late to avoid what something is bringing with it. I'm referring to ticks and Lyme disease. New Jersey Lyme disease stats from last year show some pretty positive news. Will that positive remain with us for 2019? Here to examine all this is Rutgers University Assistant Professor with their Department of Entomology, Dr. Alvaro Toledo. How are you today, Doctor?
Very good, thank you.
And learn more about the doctor's work at entomology.rutgers.edu. And if you want to learn more about Rutgers overall, rutgers.edu is the college campus website. So as I said, Doctor, we had some pretty good news with Lyme disease in New Jersey comparing 2017 to 2018, which is obviously the most recent stats we're going to have. It was a drop statewide of 22.3%, down from 5,092 cases to 3,956. Few counties saw increases, Atlantic, Cape May, Salem counties, obviously southern New Jersey. But as far as the level of concern that Lyme disease had created over the past, we'll say, 5 years or so in New Jersey, has the education program been a catalyst, do you think, in helping people realize and doctors realize early you get to it, faster you get over it, and the more you know, the easier it is to prevent?
Yeah, definitely. The earlier you get diagnosed, the easiest is the treatment, and the most successful is the treatment. So I think both preventing and early treatment are things that we need to work on, and apparently we are doing it better lately.
Is there any reason why, as I said, it seemed like there's still an increase in the southern counties where one would imagine would be ticks wouldn't be as prevalent as, say, Sussex or Warren counties, which saw pretty dramatic drops. Let me just scroll down here. For Sussex County, the Lyme disease count went down 26.3%, and Warren County almost just over 39%. Any reason why still a rise in southern New Jersey that you can think of?
So it's really hard to give explanation on what's going on with tick-borne diseases, specifically with Lyme disease, because they are complex diseases. The enzootic cycle is very complex, and when we see differences, it's really hard to pinpoint where these differences are coming from, especially since we don't have a statewide tick surveillance, so we don't know what's happening with the tick population over the years. We don't know if we are having less Lyme disease, for example, because we are having less ticks, or because these ticks are less infected, or maybe because there is a drop in the reservoirs where Lyme disease lives when it's not in the tick. So these are key points to understand what's happening with the disease and how this might be affecting humans. And so far, we don't have much information on that.
Which is one of the reasons why we have, among others, U.S. Representative Chris Smith, who is representing Central Jersey. He's one of the co-sponsors of what's called the Tick Act, which will provide $180 million over 6 years of funding for some of this research and for some of the community medical individuals to better get ahead of what is being created by any spread of Lyme disease or population of ticks. Is it the tick that creates and carries the disease, or does the tick contract it and then carry it on to somebody else?
So the tick acquires the disease when it feeds on an infected mammalian host, but as far as we know, it only acts as a vector, meaning that it doesn't affect the tick itself.
And what exactly are some of the symptoms? I mean, we always heard about the circular rash, but I was doing some reading, and that's not a consistent as far as the eye visible symptoms.
So Lyme disease and many other tick-borne diseases are tricky to diagnose unless you have a characteristic sign or symptom. For Lyme disease, is the bull eye rash, which is rash with a central clearing, but that appears in around 80% of patients. But still, there are 20% of people that don't develop this characteristic rash, and that's why sometimes it's difficult to diagnose people with Lyme disease, because when you don't have this characteristic rash, then it courses like a febrile illness that can be mistaken by the flu or other virus disease. So those are the patients that are harder to diagnose, and that's why having doctors that are aware of these diseases in the area is important to have an early diagnosis and treat these people accordingly.
You mentioned some of the symptoms, the tiredness, fever, headaches, stiff neck, muscle aches, joint pain. Those are things that people easily dismiss. Oh, I'm getting old, or I did something I shouldn't have done. And they'll take a couple of Advil and think that they've taken care of it.
Yeah, so that's very common in any febrile illness. Headaches, malaise, fever. Those are symptoms that are very common and are not specific of Lyme disease or for instance, for any other disease. So that's why it's important to have awareness, a great deal of awareness in areas like New Jersey, in which Lyme disease is endemic, and these flu-like symptoms could be symptoms of having Lyme disease. So that's why it's important to have a great level of awareness.
So Dr. Alvaro Toledo from the Department of Entomology at Rutgers University is an assistant professor, Rutgers.edu, entomology.rutgers.edu, are the respective websites. We have them linked up at our page as well, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. If left untreated, what happens to someone when they contract Lyme disease?
Well, that depends on how the disease evolves, because the disease mainly affects joints, producing arthritis, but occasionally can also migrate to the heart and to the central nervous system, causing carditis and meningitis, which are more severe symptoms. Interestingly, Lyme disease doesn't kill people often, very rarely kills anyone, but it's a very debilitating and persistent infection. So the quality of life of people that have Lyme disease for a long time and having been treated or diagnosed on time, the quality of life is really poor. They are constantly in pain, and they cannot carry out normal activities. So despite that Lyme disease won't kill you, it can really impair the quality of life.
As far as trying to get ahead of this, if you're an outdoor person or if you're in an area that is through your community organization, you find out there's a tickler going on. Is it as simple as just using a basic insect repellent that would keep you out in the safe zone, or are there other good ideas you could follow?
Well, insect repellent is always a good idea, not only for ticks but also for mosquitoes and other insects and invertebrates that can transmit diseases. But I will say that checking yourself every day if you go out to do, for example, hiking, or even if you go to your backyard, because most people get bitten in their own backyards. So check yourself after being outdoors is always good good procedure. It's even better if you take a shower, because sometimes these ticks can bite you in places where you don't normally check, like armpits, behind your knees, belly bottom, and so on and so forth. So, and it's key to detect them early, because if you remove ticks early, when they start feeding, you can prevent the transmission of the disease. So that's why it's so important to check yourself when you go outside. Also, wearing clear or light clothing helps to spot ticks if you are in an area where they are crawling on your clothes. That's easier to spot if you use light clothing. And as you say, repellents are always something that we have to keep in mind, even if we go to our own backyard.
It'd be surprising, too, for you listening, how small a tick can be. I mean, they'll vary in sizes. They can be as small as a small font that you would see on a document. A fraction of the size of a dime, for example, is maybe verbally how I can best communicate it. I was surprised, too, because when we usually find an insect, no matter what it is, we always like to, as I say, give it a burial at sea. But that's not something to do with the tick because they'll do just fine in water.
So ticks are not insects, and so that's the tricky part. Some people think that, that ticks are insects, but ticks are actually mites. They are quite different from insects. They are closely related to spiders, for example. And in terms of their size, yes, ticks have different stages in life, and the larvae and nymphs, which are the immature stages, are small. And actually, the nymph of the deer tick, which is the tick that transmits Lyme disease, is the size of a poppy seed. So it's really hard to spot unless you find it already engorded, which is what you really want to prevent.
Here's something that's I'm curious about reading up for this segment. Since this is something that a tick can create, referring to Lyme disease, is there another serious disease that a tick can be a carrier of?
Yeah, there are many diseases that ticks can carry. So it's preventing tick bites is not only good to prevent Lyme disease, it's also important to prevent, for example, Powassan virus, for which we have had a couple of cases in northern New Jersey lately, which is a virus that causes encephalitis and actually can kill people very rapidly. They also transmit a number of other bacterial diseases like human anaplasmosis, human ehrlichiosis, Rocky Mountain spot fever, and they also even transmit parasites like the protozoan Babesia microti, which is similar to malaria, and produce what is known as human babesiosis. So ticks can have a good arsenal of pathogens that they can transmit to people. Lyme disease is the better known because it's the most prevalent disease in the Northeast and in the Northern Hemisphere in general. But they can also transmit other diseases that can be really nasty and that, if not treated on time, can even kill you.
That's why simple prevention acts like repellent, like clothes, like Dr. Toledo said, as well as a good eye when you come back in, not just on you, but your pet as well, because I can imagine too, doctor, if two ticks come into a location at the same time, breeding fears become an option then too, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. So always be aware of where you are. Always check your pets too, because many of these diseases or similar diseases can be transmitted by ticks to pets. So it's always good to check your pets and use products repellent for fleas and ticks in order to keep your pets also healthy.
Learn more about the doctor's work over at Rutgers University, entomology.rutgers.edu, where he is the assistant professor with their Department of Entomology. Learn more about Rutgers overall, rutgers.edu. We've also on our website posted up a PDF document from the New Jersey Department of Health. A lot of the things we just talked about here, too, simple ideas that can keep you tick-free, or if that doesn't work out, how to spot them and learn and remember and learn what to do with them for safe and permanent disposal. That's the key, too. Dr. Toledo, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris.